I think sometimes we're guilty of making too quick of a segue. When our hearts have been drawn to heaven like that, sometimes I think we need to sit and marinate. You know what I mean? I mean that seriously. I get frustrated even at our own church and our services on Sunday morning. We gotta segue, and get out there. And often God is doing something in the hearts and lives of the people. So if you don't mind, let's just bow our heads and contemplate the holiness of God. Contemplate his worthiness. With all creation, I sing praise to the King of Kings. Father, perhaps we have been thinking too much about ourselves. We've been thinking too much about our issues and maybe we've been trying to manage our way out of certain situations or control the damage or whatever. And we pause to thank you for your greatness, that you are here and everything that we need is in you. And Father, that is not theoretical. Every problem, every issue we have, every solution that we need is found in the greatness of a God who would condescend to love us so personally. We're yours, Lord Jesus, and thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. It is such a great joy to be here with you, and thank you, Les, for the invitation. It's just absolutely wonderful. And Chris, you guys' story, I mean, that's priceless. And it's tremendous to have a leader of an organization that has such a passion for families and for marriages. It's a rare combination. So thank you for your leadership, Les. I really, really appreciate that. Standing right here is the joy of my life. We have been married now for 39 years, and she is absolutely wonderful. I got to tell you how I met her, though. I broke up with my high school sweetheart the summer between my freshman and sophomore year in undergraduate school. And so come on now. It's the real deal. This is a true story. I was on my knees in my dorm room. This was like the beginning of the semester of my sophomore year, on my knees in my dorm room. My high school sweetheart had kicked me to the curb. Can you imagine? And so I was devastated. I said, God, no more women. They mess you up every time. And I need time to heal. And I need time to get my heart together. And so I'm not going to date anybody. And I'm not going to, you know, go out with any women this semester. I'm just going to stay focused between Jesus and my studies. And I was getting into this thing, right? So I get up off my knees, and people who know me know that when my mind is made up, I can be fairly focused. And so I'm walking down the street toward the main administration building of the college that I was at, my mind filled with this deep-seated, stalwart, single-minded, focused prayer I just prayed. No women, nothing, just me and Jesus, and we're going to make it happen. And so I get to the doors of the main administration building and throw open those doors, and there at the top of the stairs are these two brown legs. And I said, Lord, what have we here? And so I learned an incredible lesson. Never make foolish vows, okay? God said, don't pay attention to that. I got the hookup for the brother. And those legs belong to Karen. And she was new on campus. And my mama taught me to be hospitable to strangers. And so to have her, you know, look around and be her companion. And I've been showing her around now for 39 years. So she, true story. Sweetheart, tell them a little bit about our kids and be kind to me.
He tells that story all the time. Somebody needs to have the courage enough to ask them, why were you looking up the steps of somebody's brown legs in the Christian college?
They were just in my eyesight. Yeah, it was right. Just right there.
Well, we have four married children. Son Brian, he is a lead teaching pastor at a church in Memphis, and he and his wife I've been married 11 years come July 3rd, and we have our three older grandsons, Quentin, Miles, and Jaden. Then our daughter Heather and her husband, they live in Memphis too, and Heather's dream has always been to get married and to be a mom, a stay-at-home mom, so she's a stay-at-home mom to our two grandchildren. They've been married 6 years. In fact, 6 years tomorrow, they've been married 6 years. Wow. And it's Jackson and Ashlyn, their two youngest ones. Then our son Brendan. Brendan is our son that moved up to Moody, loved Chicago, found a wife, got his master's, and he's a pastor outside of Chicago in Lansing, Illinois. And he has our first granddaughter. We had four grandsons in a row, then he had our next two granddaughters. Little Lonnie, who will be 3 in July, and then Brianna in September. She'll be a year. And last but not least, our daughter Holly got married April the 10th to her college sweetheart. They got married April the 10th, graduated from medical school May the 8th, and they start residency next Thursday. So we have four married children out of the house.
Hallelujah.
Talk with you tomorrow.
Hallelujah. In fact, when I performed the wedding for both Holly and her husband are both physicians, they're doctors. And so after they said I do, and my son-in-law said, "Well, Doc, how are you feeling about all this?" I said, joy, and here's an envelope, son. Big manila envelope with all the insurance policies that you have to pay for now and all of her bills. God bless you. Tears of joy. Yeah. I wrestled in prayer about what to share this evening. And as I thought about this weekend, there's an awful lot Karen and I could talk about. We do a lot of marriage conferences through the years, resolving conflict. We could talk about roles in marriage and this kind of thing. But I just felt led this evening to kick off our time talking about vertically our relationship with God. We tend to forget that marriage was designed to tell the truth about God. That marriage, frankly, was designed in human history to be a portrait, to be a statement in the context of human history about what a relationship with God is all about. It is a visual illustration of the power of the gospel in the context of human history. And so often we so segment our Christianity that we think that our relationship is just about us. But from the very beginning, marriage was always a statement about God. And that's the reason why throughout the Bible, God uses shocking, searing language when he talks about people not being faithful to him, Israel going, this is a terrible expression, Israel going a whoring after other gods. He uses marriage and unfaithfulness in that relationship to talk about what it means to be unfaithful to him. Now hang in there, I'm going somewhere with this. Typically, marriages, when they fall apart, typically there's a fourfold disintegrating process. Typically. As a pastor, I see this an awful lot, regrettably. Every marriage begins with passion. You know, that we're in love, L-U-V. Don't know how we're going to pay the bills, but we love, make things happen. It's all this passion, and you're fired up about each other. You'll climb the mountains. You'll do everything. You'll make the enormous sacrifices for one another. Yeah, you don't have any problems or issues. Somebody said early on, you can always tell the people who've been married a year or less, they're smiling. They don't have any problems. And you say, "I'll see you next year, sucker." And, you know, you got all these issues going on. A little passion. But after a while, when you realize when you said I do, you did. And all of a sudden, you realize that you can't sit home and kissy face all day. Now, you can, but you'd be homeless. So somebody's got to get up and get out here and go to work. And as the realities of life set in, you know, passion disintegrates a little bit to neglect. And nobody means this. You don't mean to neglect one another. You don't. You forgot to say I love you, or you forgot to call, or you were inconsiderate. And these little things start happening. And it happens to all of us.